Hi, everybody. The Complex PTSD Guy here. I'll start out by saying I'm not a doctor or psychiatrist. I'm just a guy living with complex PTSD, and I'm sharing my own ideas, experiences, and opinions on this podcast. I wanted to share a couple things, but I wanted to title this episode Denial, because I had mentioned the denial stuff a little bit in another episode, but if somebody was specifically looking for the topic of denial, I didn't actually title that episode Denial because I talked about other things as well. I talked about more stuff before that. So I wanted to just sort of reshare some things that I had learned regarding when you have, like, if there's somebody abusing you and you're growing up in an abusive home, a lot of times there's a partner or a spouse of the abuser who is enabling, or they're also being a victim of the abuser. But a lot of times that spouse is in denial of how bad things really are. And they can live in denial for 30, 40, 50 years, maybe their whole marriage. And a lot of that is fear. But particularly denial, whenever you're growing up in a situation like that, it's absolutely a mind F is what it is. It really messes with your mind. And it's for you growing up. If you're growing up and you have a parent or a caregiver, whoever it is, and they're the one in denial, it can just play all kinds of games with you. And a lot of times you might not know that they're in denial until somebody tells you, or something really traumatic happens and it like hits you in the face like a bag of bricks, like the fact that they are in deep denial. But I wanted to, again, sort of reshare something I'd mentioned on the other episode. And I wanted to reshare a couple other points that are really quite astounding, because these are things that I would have never connected, but they absolutely relate. And again, I found a lot of this in that book that I've mentioned over and over, The Novel Cure by Ella Bertold and Susan Elderkin. I'm going to take this book back Tuesday, by the way. I rechecked it out. That's how good it was. And I discovered that book as I was going through my little New Year's resolution of learning new things, going shelf by shelf and just reading at the library in nonfiction. And this is one of the books that popped up. So my New Year's resolution is working and I'm sticking to it, and it's been phenomenal. And before I really get into this episode, I wanted to share something a little bit off topic, but it falls in line with some other things that I've shared, that just a lot of like really good things or good energy or good experiences have been happening in the last like 2 or 3 weeks. And it happened again yesterday. So I met somebody, and it's just like a work-related thing. But again, it was like this very positive encounter where like they wanted to like hang out with me and stuff. And I just thought, this is so interesting, because these things just don't normally seem to happen. And again, I don't know where it's coming from, but it's a really good feeling. But it's just a lot of really amazing positive things have happened in the last few weeks. And I don't know if it's the stars in alignment or what's going on. I'll take it. I like it. I'm not complaining. And I also wanted to share that I told you guys, I think on Friday, I had bought a lottery ticket, because that was the day that I got some really good news, like amazingly good news about something that I was very worried about. And so I went out and bought a lottery ticket, because I told you guys I do that from time to time, especially when like really amazing things are coming my way. You know, I'm the type of person to think, well, what could it hurt to buy a lottery ticket? So I had it checked today, the ticket. It was for that Powerball, like $1 billion or whatever. And I didn't win anything, but it was really kind of an interesting experience, because I told you guys on Friday when I had this really good news, I said I felt like I've won the lottery. And after I had this lottery ticket scan today, it was a very interesting experience because I felt, oh, I don't need it. I've already won the lottery. Like, I literally feel that way. I feel like I've won the lottery. Just with some personal things that have happened in my life, particularly, like I said, some really amazingly good news I had on Friday that I was really worried about. But I don't know that I've ever had this level of what I would call good contentment. And a lot of people that I've known over the years, they see that word content as being almost like a bad word. It's almost like you're giving in or something. And I don't see the word content that way. I see content as a really wonderful place that I would hope to be at. You know, I'm happy with things. Contentment is happiness. But that's how I felt. I just felt this very almost euphoric feeling of contentment. Like, well, I didn't need to win that because I've already won the lottery. You know, like I already have everything I could kind of want. And it was a really weird feeling. And then I thought, you know, I'll probably still keep playing the lottery, but it would literally be just to have a nest egg. Like I wouldn't go out and maybe do a million things with it. I would literally, it would be a nest egg. Like it would be just a golden egg to hold on to and not even spend it. Like just to put it into trust funds or something and just get the interest off of that. Like I wouldn't go out and spend it on a bunch of stuff. I just feel very different about it. It was very weird. After having that feeling of like a contentment or having the feeling that I've already won it. So anyway, it's a good thing. But I wanted to talk about the denial thing because I came to like an epiphany about it. And again, I'm titling this episode Denial. So that's what you probably came on here to listen about. But in regards to denial, the thing that I had never really thought of until, again, I came across this book, The Novel Cure, was that one of the main things that I deal with is fear of confrontation. And I talked to you guys about that in regards to complex PTSD and avoiding things, particularly in regards to when we're in relationships with people and that interpersonal dialogue. Certain things, I think, kind of scare us and we avoid. And avoiding fear of confrontation is just a very big thing. I know it is for me, but I never ever would have thought, and fear of confrontation, by the way, was one of the ailments in this book. So they recommend certain novels for that. They actually recommended you to see Fear of Violence, which I thought was interesting. You know, look up Fear of Violence, and then the books they had for that. One was the fear of you becoming violent, like your own rage wanting to come out. And that was Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. The other one was you learning, if you're afraid of other people's violence, it's learning how to defend yourself and have confidence. And it was the Musashi book about a samurai. And one that they had for fear of confrontation, though, was My Name is Asher Lev. But basically, it's a book about somebody who's avoiding and avoiding and avoiding to the point where eventually, when you avoid so much, you miss out on life or things build up to a crisis. So you've either missed out or things build up to a crisis and you really can't really avoid things. Like eventually you do have to deal with them. But in regards to denial, I never would have connected denial to fear of confrontation, but that's really what it is when you think about it. And denial, by the way, was not in this book. But I came to the realization that if you are in denial of something, it means you're not just hiding something or you're denying something's existence, like a problem. It means you're afraid of confronting the problem. You're afraid of its existence. Like you're afraid of acknowledging it. So you're just afraid of confronting it. So it's a fear of confrontation, right? It's a fear of like accepting or confronting reality. And the other thing that they had in here was, battling your demons was another thing they had in there. And for that they said, whenever you have a demon, a lot of times they're not as frightening as what you think they are. And I'll find the book that they recommended for that, by the way. But so for denial, if we look at denial in a different way and look at it as a fear of confrontation or maybe even a fear of violence, I think a lot of times if there's somebody enabling abuse, and they might also be a victim themselves, which is really important to remember, the person who's enabling the abuser, it's a fear of confrontation. Like they're afraid of confronting the abuser, and it might be a fear of violence. They might be afraid of the violence. So, in this book, and this book doesn't really, I shouldn't say that, but, this isn't a substitute for a therapist to talk about these things with, by the way. But I do think that they give really good books for reading. So the one they had for facing your demons is called Beyond Black by Hilary Mantel. And again, whenever it says facing your demons, it's it actually connects with emotional scars and being haunted. But it's pointing out that you may find out that they're less terrifying than you think when you face your demons. So very much falls in line with fear of confrontation, facing your demons and fear of confrontation. That's the main thing that I wanted to share. The other thing I wanted to share, though, really quick, is that in regards to realizing that denial fits in so well with fear of confrontation, there were two key things that I found out that I actually have very much so in common with, one, my primary abuser, and two, the person who enabled the abuser. And one of them is the denial. So I'm not in denial about anything, but I do have fear of confrontation. So I find it interesting that you can come from, like, let's just pretend it's your parents. And one of your parents has a key attribute. And the denial thing, by the way, was somebody that was a thing that somebody who's known me since I was a teenager, they said that about the person who's the enabler of my abuser. They said they struggle with deep, deep, deep denial here. And they pointed that out to me when I was 16 years old. They were like, this person, is in major denial. Like they made sure that I knew that. They made sure to tell me that about that person. And they knew this person's situation quite well, on a very personal level. And so it's interesting to me that I struggle with fear of confrontation when I am being raised by somebody who has deep denial, right? It's like, it's interesting that I struggle with something so similar to what they struggle with. And then in regards to my primary abuser, I would say in a lot of ways they are ignorant. And ignorance is a very big word. It's a very heavy word. And I struggle a lot with being oblivious and being a little bit clueless to certain things. But oblivious is a really good word. Almost unaware, sometimes naive, but the word oblivious is a really particular word. And that's something I've struggled with, particularly regarding myself. And I also assume things, which I've said, assuming has gotten me into a lot of trouble over the years. And when I was looking up what are other words, I Googled, what are other words for making assumptions or assuming things? It said arrogance and presumptuousness. And I thought, what? Because I just wouldn't have thought that would connect to the other. But if you're making an assumption about something, it's almost like you know everything. And I was like, well, that's not how I feel. But I think I assume things because there is some of that ignorance there. And so I think I pick that up. Like, I think when you're being raised in a narrow-minded home by an abusive person, because abusers a lot of times are very narrow-minded, if you're growing up with somebody who's ignorant and somebody else who's in denial, it makes sense that I would have tendencies to be assuming things and to be oblivious, because those are signs of, like, they're similar to ignorance, right? Like, I'm ignorant to things that are just so obvious to me. Like, they should be obvious. And then I'm also fear of confrontation. And this person has denial. And I just find it so interesting that those are two huge things that have been a very big part of my life. Assuming things, being oblivious, and then also fear of confrontation, wanting to avoid. Those are key features of me. And to see, you know, that these are key things that are features of these two particular people, I find really interesting. I mean, talk about a clairvoyant moment. I mean, holy cow, that's a huge revelation. And actually, the next time I see my counselor, which is not this Monday, not tomorrow, but the week after, I can't wait to tell her this, because this is a huge revelation. Because I actually said to her just last week, I struggle a lot with being oblivious, particularly when something is harming me. Like, if there's something I'm doing that's harming myself and I'm not aware of how much it's actually hurting me. And this could be for, like, beating myself up, or, you know, when I was drinking, or just all kinds of things. I actually don't see how much it's affecting me. Or if I'm depressed, I don't actually see how really depressed, like clinically depressed, I actually am. Or when I'm thinking horrible solutions for minor problems, you know, jumping to the extreme, I'm actually not seeing how negative my thinking can be. So it's huge to see something like this, that this might be the connection, like this is the link, right? And I just find it quite fascinating, because this book really helped me to make links to things that I normally would not link together. Like, I think one of them was, if you're being judgmental, there was something in here that related really well to low self-esteem. And I'm trying to remember exactly what it was, but the low self-esteem factor is another big, big revelation. Because it is something that I struggle with, and it's something I'm working to build my confidence. And the best way to do that is engage with an interest or a passion. But just certain things that I used to see certain ways, I've really shifted in how I see them. Like, for example, I know somebody, and I used to think a lot of times, this person's very jealous of another person that I know, and we've all known each other our whole lives. But I used to think that this person was extremely jealous because this other person had basically the life that they wanted. And then I realized that that's not actually what jealousy is. That's more of what envy is. Envy is when you want something somebody else has. Jealousy is when you fear competition in the realms of this. You want to win a beauty contest, but this other person has come in and they're stealing the show. So now you're jealous of them because they're going to get the crown. That's jealousy. That's not what envy is. Envy is when you want things. You're like, oh man, I want that life they have. And particularly, the envy thing. So this person, I realize, is not actually jealous of this person. They might be envious. But I think what it really is low self-esteem, because I think that they're just wanting something someone has. But I think if they had it, I don't know that, I think that they would still want more. And I think that that's more of them beating themselves up, saying, I'm not good enough, like saying that about themselves, thinking they're not good enough. And that's low self-esteem. And I think that's what's actually going on with this person. But you know, I don't want to get too much off topic here. But anyway, this book has been great, and I just highly recommend it, The Novel Cure. So, and again, denial was not in there, but there might be things in this book that really help you see what is maybe you need resolution with, or you need like an answer, or like if you're trying to peel the onion, this is the ultimate peel the onion book right here. I mean, it's really fascinating. So I just wanted to share that. This is the Complex PTSD Guy signing off.